Meryl Marco has a new book out. Good news for the many fans of this former Letterman Show producer and creator of such sketches as Stupid Pet Tricks.
That's a great-looking dog. What is he going to do for us tonight, Marty?
He walks with a bag on his head.
Stupid Pet Tricks, a creation of Meryl Marco, who was David Letterman's partner in life as well as work before she moved on from both a couple decades ago. Pets would figure in her new writing career. A personal favorite, the novel Walking in Circles Before Lying Down, which centers around the talking dog Chuck. And now Meryl's own somewhat neurotic dogs, think that pack in the movie Up when they see a squirrel, make hysterical appearances in her new collection of essays. It's called Cool, Calm, and Contentious, the contentious being her relationship with her late, rage-filled, narcissistic mother, as well as, no coincidence, various narcissistic past boyfriends. The cool and calm? Well, what is the cool and calm? Meryl Marco joins us from the NPR studios in Culver City, California. Meryl, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. The contentious we get. But what is the cool and calm? Because it cannot be the dogs.
I always try to maintain sort of a cool, calm demeanor. You know, what I prefer to do instead of fly into rages or whatever is just break out in rashes, stomach aches and so forth. And then I just deal with them cool. You know, I appear cool.
Well, I get it now, because you are the one who seems to have to navigate these shoals of, you know, hysterical dogs. Well, more on that later. But, you know, your mom, and I want to start there. In one of the essays, you actually go on a whitewater rafting trip that's only women. And at one point, you describe yourself as sitting at the campsite, observing a grandmother, mother, and daughter as if you were Margaret Mead, trying to see, as if it were anthropological. And that's how you actually feel through a lot of the book. You know, who do I have to be to relate to an angry mom or, you know, a boyfriend? Is that a part of it?
I guess that's very smart. I hadn't thought of it in my own words that way before, but yeah, I'd say that's probably a part of it. It seems like my task has been in growing up to learn how to triumph over crazy people. That's an awful way to call everybody, but it seems like life is full of a lot of crazy people, and you have to find a way to not have them sink you.
Well, it read that way, and yes, it can be that way in life. And your mom, you know, who you loved, obviously, and kept trying to get her to respond to you in a certain way, but she was pretty angry. After she died, you found these travel journals.
Well, that was a weird dilemma because, yeah, I never got along with my mother. And I kept thinking, because I watched a lot of Hollywood movies, that at some point there in the 11th hour, she was going to have some sort of a moment where we'd unite and we would understand each other and so forth. And that just never happened. When she died, she'd left behind all these diaries. I thought they'd be about me and why I made her angry or whatever. And it turned out they were her complaints about every country in the world, which really made me laugh. She went from country to country having sort of a horrible time and recorded all of that. So ultimately, at the end of reading all of her entries, I thought to myself, you know, I didn't get out so bad when you think about it. I came off as good as the women of Bali, and they're kind of a great group. Or she was just a very angry person, and she wasn't someone who analyzed herself, so I never did really figure out what was at the base of it. She was very smart, my mother. That was made it all the more impossible because she really had a great intellect. It just emotionally, she was goofy. And I had noticed she had written in the margin of Oliver Twist in her Dickens reader, not one of his best. I was not impressed. And I thought, if Dickens couldn't impress her, what was I, crazy thinking I'm going to impress her?
But it also, I mean, you say that it's part of why you're a comic.
Yeah, I have a big philosophy and a piece that's in the book about it. It struck me that everyone I know that is compulsively funny for a living seems to have had a similar kind of mother. I guess it's the ultimate result of being raised by a heckler. Sort of what I come to think of it as, you know, you learn how to have a lot of comebacks because that's what life is on a daily basis, is just all the things you did wrong, and then you counterattack.
Yeah.
And if you're a certain kind of person, you try to do it funny.
Well, that brings us to the essay on Bobby. I interviewed a young girl once. She was trying to tell me something, and it reads sort of like that interview. Say I have a friend. It's not me, but my friend, you know, did something.
So exactly.
The essay is, say there's this guy named Bobby, and he gets really famous, and then there's a big scandal around him, and just say, you know, By the way, did we mention that you were the co-creator of The Letterman Show? Did I mention that earlier?
Yes, you did.
So is there a reason that we're discussing the person who cannot be named as Bobby?
If I just talked about the person who could be named, then it isn't about my experience. When his scandal hit, suddenly there were reporters on my front lawn, and I was in magazines because people, researchers who write for magazines, are too lazy to find a picture of the people who are involved with this and are finding pictures of me. It was such an insane experience for me that I just thought, because this is the sort of thing I do, I need to write about this. But if I were to use the actual specific names of the people, then it suddenly becomes about a commercial quantity. It's not about me and my experience.
Well, and by the way, it was 2 years ago that some...
Was it two?
Yeah, that some producer claimed that Bobby was having an affair with his intern, Bobby's intern, who was this guy's girlfriend, and that this guy was going to blackmail Bobby.
Yeah, and all that had nothing at all to do with me, is my point. The idea that that somehow had reporters standing on my lawn... I mean, I couldn't resist writing about it. It was just too peculiar.
Well, and it's, very funny writing, but it's also painful.
You know, when you break up with someone who's got any kind of public status or public figure, then it just takes on a level of insanity that really nobody should be punished that way. It's just too crazy for... Kafka couldn't even have imagined it, really, because he didn't live in the time of mass media.
Well, but enough about Bobby, David Letterman. This brings us back to... dogs. In one of the essays, Selfishness 101 for Dogs, I love you have a summit with all four of them, and they're all like talking. Hedda keeps chiming in, which reminds me, breakfast, just throw it out there. Breakfast. I mean, you capture all four of them. Ginger, who sits on your newspapers. They're self-centered. In one essay, you are evacuating from a brush fire there in California, and they're delirious in the car because we're going for a ride. You know, they don't.
Yeah, that totally happened. That was it. It's where you realize they really are exchange students from Neptune, because they just are participating with what they think you're doing, but they don't really have any complete understanding of it.
But in this bedroom with shredded newspapers and, you know, sloppy, chewed on tennis balls, etc., there's also a guy.
I live with a musician named Andy Preboy.
So what happened, Meryl? I just, from the description of yourself as a young girl who, you know, you lived for whatever some snot-nosed kid thought of you, you know, and the college professor who preyed on girls. I mean, did you change? Did you just happen to stumble upon somebody? How'd you...
You mean how did I get into a successful relationship?
Well, there.
Well, I went to a lot of therapy. I got to a place in my life where I just started thinking, you know, I don't know what part of this is broken, but either let's throw it all out and start over again or something. You know, I mean, I like reading psychology books a lot because I like trying to understand. I find most people to be incomprehensible, as I think many people find each other to be incomprehensible, especially in the world. When you read the news, you think, what are these people thinking? So I like reading books about psychology to try to see if I could grasp what some of them are thinking.
And while doing it, make us all laugh. Meryl Marco, Emmy-winning career in television, but also the author of several books, the latest a collection of essays, Cool, Calm, and Contentious. Meryl, thanks as always.
Well, thank you so much, Robin.